I'll just.
Is that a right or left or?
Right here. There you go.
All right. Yay. Woohoo. Oh, it is so good to be here. You guys have no idea what it's like to worship with just five or six people every week. And your worship team, my goodness, you have touched my heart this morning. Amen. It is so good to be back with you. Many of you may not remember that I was a missions and evangelism pastor here. Some of you were here 16 years ago when we left the valley. And others of you, it's just great to see so many new faces. And we've been back about every other year since then, but it just touches our hearts to be home again and to see all of you. Thank you. Pastor was exactly right when he said that we are homegrown missionaries. I learned a lot at the seminary, but I learned a lot more here at our Savior's community. I had a lot to share when I came, but you also taught me a lot. And thank you so much for investing in us, first on your staff and now on your deployed staff way over in Kyrgyzstan, Central Asia. I've got a lot to share with you, so we're going to just start off with this question. Are you ready for a question? It says, what in the world are we doing for Christ's sake? That is a question that every single Christian family, every single Christian church ought to be asking. What in the world are we doing for Christ's sake? You know, we have lots of reasons to ask this question, and most of you know the Great Commission. I mean, okay, now help me with this, Nancy. Can I get the next slide? Is there an on-off switch? There we go. The Great Commission. It's all over the Bible. God wants all people everywhere to know about Jesus. But the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What is a nation? You know, that term nation, we often think of the United Nations, a country, United States, Kyrgyzstan. In the Greek, the word nation is ta ethne. Ta ethne is where we get our word ethnic, ethnicity. It's people groups. So did you know there are 487 nations or ethnic peoples in the United States? Different ethnic groups that have their own cultures, languages. 487. In Kyrgyzstan, we have 41. One of which is the Dungan people, the upper right there. Some of the others are around in the pictures around the sides. So when we think of nations, we think of ethnic people. How many nations are there in the world? Any ideas? According to the Joshua Project, which has done ethnographic research for about 30 years, for the purpose of mission and church planting around the world, there are over 17,000 ethnic groups, individual ethnic groups in the world. I want to highlight this morning that there are 4,751 of them who have 0.1% Christians or less among them. That's one out of 1,000. What in the world are we doing for Christ's sake? There are three types of people in the world, and I'm going to divide you into to three groups here. It's not going to be quite even, but we'll just do your one group, your two group, and your three group. You in the back can be with that group and this group, okay? About one-third of the world says, has heard the good news about Jesus and says, we believe it. We're following Jesus. And so there, this group will say, put your hands together, look up to heaven, and say, thank you, Jesus. That's a third of the world. Okay, about a third of the world has heard the good news about Jesus, but doesn't believe it. Have other gods, other priorities, whatever. So put your hands up, look down, and say, no, thank you, Jesus. Okay. But there's still about a third of the world that does this. Put your hands like this, shrug your shoulders, give me a little tilted head action, and say, who's Jesus? A third of the world. A third of the world is still saying, who's Jesus? And most of those people live in these 4,751 unreached people groups, least reached people groups. There's lost people all over the world. There's lost people in the United States, and you know many of them, right? People who have rejected Jesus. Maybe even a few, probably hardly a few in America that have never heard the name of Jesus, right? But so this area is where most of these unreached people groups are called the 1040 window. Have any of you heard of the 1040 window? Yeah, it's from 10 degrees north latitude to 40 degrees north latitude on the map, and it stretches from East Africa to or West Africa to Japan, the 1040 window. And so you're going, there are 4,000 some hundred dots on that map. The red ones are Muslims, the blue ones are Hindus, 85% of the people. Now, if you had 30 missionaries to send, where would you send them? If you'd say, well, I might send a bunch of them there. I mean, the whole world needs Jesus, but we got to tell people who are going, who's Jesus, right? Did you know that for every 30 missionaries that are sent in the world by the Christian church around the world today, only one works inside that box? Only one. Out of every $100 that the Christian church spends on missions and evangelism in the world today, less than 1 cent goes into that box right there. Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than on money to bring the gospel to the people who are going, who is Jesus? Let's read this together. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? So that brings us back to the question, what in the world are we doing for Christ's sake? There are really three answers to this question, and I'm going to give you those three possible outcomes, possible answers through the story of Jonah this morning. Now, many of you know the story of Jonah. I'm not going to read it line by line from the Old Testament, and we're only going to look at the first three parts of the story. There's a fourth chapter, but we're just going to look at three chapters this morning. Jonah chapter 1, the story of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is sent by God from Israel to the land of Nineveh, the Assyrians. It's the capital of the Assyrian Empire. They're the bad guys, right? They're that big superpower that is on the rise, and they are wicked. Crucifixion originated with the Assyrian Empire and a whole bunch of other stuff. They were ruthless, and they were dominant. And so the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and says, go to the land of Nineveh. I've got a message for them. So what does Jonah do? You know the story. He says, don't want to do that. In fact, I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. So he goes, gets in a boat, crosses into the Mediterranean, trying to get to Tarshish. Thinks he can run from God. Can't do that. So God sends a storm. The storm rocks the boat. Jonah's asleep in the bottom, but the pagan sailors are like praying out to their gods. And the captain wakes Jonah and says, "We're all praying. You pray to your God too." Catch the irony? The pagan captain of the ship has to remind Jonah to pray. The sailors eventually draw lots to see whose fault this is, and the lot falls to Jonah, of course, and they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm an Israelite. I follow the God who made the earth and the seas, and by the way, I'm running from him. He told me to go that way, and I'm going this way." And he says, basically, he says, "It's my fault." And they said, "Well, what should we do?" And he said, "Well, throw me overboard, and this will all stop." And they don't really want to do that. They struggle, but they can't beat the storm. And so finally, they say, "God who made the seas, forgive us for taking this man's life." And they throw him overboard. And the seas are calm. And chapter 1 ends with Jonah sinking right down into the bottom of the sea. If we were to give a title to chapter 1, we would say, "Jonah runs from God." Jonah runs from God. This is the natural situation for mankind. We are born into this world wanting to go our own way, wanting to run our own race. Look out for number one. Many people in this world are running from God today. Some people run from God because they have never heard about God. My wife was one of them. She was only 13 years old before she even heard the name of Jesus. She had a Christian teacher who brought her to a camp, a Christian-run camp, and she heard about Jesus, and she said, "If there is a God who loves me just as I am and wants me to be with him, I want to follow a God like that." Do you know anybody who has never heard about God? I do. Lots of them. But some of us, like Jonah, we have been walking with God for a long time, more or less, longer, some than others. But in some area of our life, maybe even some areas of our life, we're running from him. I want to be just real open and honest with you this morning. We've been in Kyrgyzstan for 16 years. 16 years. And for most of that time, my prayer life was vibrant. But for the last 2 years, my prayer life has really been poor. Personal prayer. I mean, I read my Bible every day. I pray with my wife. I pray with my daughter. I pray with my church members. I pray with other teammates who are missionaries there. I pray. It seems like I'm praying all the time. But when it's just me and God, oh, I got to get to the next thing. I'm so busy serving God. And did you catch the irony? Didn't have time to pray. Something is wrong. How about you? Anybody running from God? God says he wants to be number one in our lives. And he deserves to be number one in our lives, in our time, in our heart. Looking forward to being with him, talking to him in our worship life. Has there any other priorities come before God in your life? Not doing what he's saying in your finances, in your calendar, in your relationships? Is there somebody that God wants you to say sorry to and you've just been running from that? I don't know. Just ask God that this morning. Many of us run from God. Don't be like Jonah. You don't have to wait for a hitting bottom. We can learn from Jonah in chapter 2, the second response to what we can do in this world for God. Instead of just running from him, we need to do what Jonah did in chapter 2, we need to run to God. Now, Jonah had some help. Jonah chapter 2 opens with Jonah sinking, and God sends a fish. The fish opens its mouth, swallows Jonah. Still bottom of the sea, but alive. And Jonah chapter 2 is a beautiful prayer. 10 verses, a prayer. Jonah pouring out his heart to God. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, and he saved me. Calling on God, remembering how God has saved him in the past and asking God to save him at this moment. Now, Jonah in the belly of the whale can be considered like a timeout. Have any of you ever been in timeout or given your children a timeout? What are you supposed to do in timeout? Think about it. It's so much more fun when you're the adult telling your children, right? Think about it. Get ready to say you're sorry, right? And never do that again. The giant fish was a timeout for Jonah. And he sat there and he thought about it. And he said, I'm not going to run from God anymore. I'm going to run to him. One of my friends named Ali, I baptized him in 2013. He had been a Muslim before that. Jesus found him, and he began to run to God, and he lived that life for a couple of years, but a couple years later, he started running with some of his old friends, and they started drinking again, and he made some bad decisions while he was drinking and started running after women, and then feeling like money was the center of his life, and he just fell away from God. We prayed for him, talked with him, but he was kind of happy in this new lifestyle until one day he was in an accident. He was riding his bike, a car hit him, and broke his leg in a couple different places. Got laid up, was home for a couple of months, and while he was laid up, he said to me later, Pastor Kip, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. That saved my life. Because while he was laid up, he remembered God. He remembered how sweet it was to have that fellowship with God. He remembered the closeness, the intimacy, the love, the wisdom, the direction. And he said, I needed that time out. Now, God has many ways to slow us down. It could be a layoff from work, a health setback, financial problems. I'm not saying that every rocky ship or every storm in life is sent from God to stop you in your tracks and turn you around. But I am saying that if you're experiencing something that's stopping you, slowing you down, it's a great time to just sit down and say, hey, God, is everything okay between us? Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from loving you with all my heart? Of course, we don't have to wait for a timeout to run back to God. As I was writing this message a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at my computer, and all of a sudden it struck me how lousy my personal prayer time had been. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And I just dropped my hands off the keyboard, and I was just like, hung my head, and I said, God, you know, I'm a workaholic by nature. And I said, God, forgive me. Work, even ministry, even serving you has become my priority. Forgive me. And I said, I know that I'm forgiven. I said, if you could forgive Jonah, you could forgive me. If you could forgive those Ninevites, you could forgive me. See, that fish wasn't just the timeout for Jonah. It was the Savior. And God sent the Savior for us. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so the Lord Jesus was in the heart of the earth, the tomb, for 3 days for you and me. And when he rose victorious, he said, you don't have to run from me anymore. I've got your back. I've got you covered. If you've been running from God, now's the time to turn around and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to be like Jonah. I want to run to you. Offer up a prayer, whether you're on dry land or in the belly of a whale of a problem, now's the time to say, I'm going to run to you, Lord. Forgive me. So we've seen in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah runs from God. Jonah chapter 2, he runs to God. And that's the story of some of our Christian lives. Some of us, just our whole lives, we're either running from God or we're running to God. And sometimes some of us is back and forth, back and forth. And some of us see running to God as like the pinnacle of our life. Thank you, God, I'm saved. I'm with you. You love me. Everything is good. But I'm here this morning to tell you there is one more very important step. It's Jonah chapter 3. In Jonah chapter 3, God calls Jonah back to go back to the Ninevites. In Jonah chapter 3, we see that Jonah is called to run for God. And you're called to run for God too. Back to the story, Pastor Rob read the text this morning. This time, Jonah knows that he's going to go to the Ninevites. No questions, no thoughts about it. So he marches into town, big town, and he preaches the shortest sermon on record, a lot shorter than my sermon today. 5 words in Hebrew, 8 words in English. And the Ninevites believed him. He says, repent or turn around because destruction is coming on this city. And the Ninevites believed him. And the king of the Ninevites, the emperor, he calls for a fast. He tells everyone, and he himself puts on sackcloth, a really itchy cloth. They put dust on their heads, sit in ashes. This is all ways to show humility, sincerity, seeking mercy. They started to run to God because Jonah was running for God. So, how can we run for God? Well, I'm so proud of this church. Our Savior's Palm Springs has been running for God for as long as I can remember, and that was 1995 when I came, and I'm sure even before that. But in 1997, this church adopted the Dungan people as your unreached people group. Some of you will still remember that, but I hope all of you will know that. This church adopted an unreached people group called the Dungan, one of those dots in the 1040 window. Not by yourself. You came together with several other Lutheran churches that said, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to send people. We're going to pray. We're going to give of our finances until there are Dungan churches reaching out to other Dungan in the world and other ethnicities in Central Asia. That was 1997. Let me tell you what's happened since then. Back then, when we first sent our first short-term teams to just find out who are the Dungan and what do they do, there was one known Dungan believer. Hardly any Dungan had ever even heard the name of Jesus. Today, there are almost 50 believers. Praise the Lord. At that time, there was nothing translated into Dungan, no scriptures of any kind, no Jesus film or any audio, visual, anything. Now we have all of the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We have the 4 Gospels, the Acts, Proverbs, several other books, a whole chronological oral Bible story series, 36 stories from Christ and from creation to Christ and the church. Now we have the Jesus film dubbed into Dungan. Now we have a social media presence among the Dungan. Way back then, there were no long-term workers among the Dungan. Ivy and I were among the first to go. Now there are 16 people, 14 others besides Ivy and I, serving long-term among the Dungan. We hope that you can stay for lunch and our presentation afterwards. We have lots of stories to tell you about what God is doing among the Dungan because of your prayers, because of your giving, the church's giving, and many of you individually, and because of sending us and sending others. Hope you can stay for that. I want to just tell you that you are making a difference among the Dungan. I want to just tell you the story of a woman named Zukra. Zukra is about 40 years old. She came to our house church because her friend invited her. Zukra was born with no ligament in her right knee and one leg a little shorter, and so she's always been crippled from birth. And Zukra really felt like, really had a bitter life. She'd been married 3 times, divorced twice, had never had children. Because of her leg condition, she couldn't work, so she was very poor. Her current husband is 30 years older than her and treats her more like kitchen help than as a wife. So in Muslim culture, which values women for how many children they can have, how much work they can do, and how pretty they are, Zukra felt like she was struck out. She felt she had no value in life. But her friend brought her to our house church, and there she heard that there's a God who loves you because he made you, he knows you personally, and he even sent his son Jesus to die so that you could be with him forever. She said, if there's a God like that, I want to follow him. She'd never heard anything like this in Islam. She wanted a Bible. She read it secretly when her husband wasn't home because for fear of persecution. He would kick her out and put her on the street. So when he would leave, she'd get it from the hiding place, read. She'd bring it to our house church every week. You have made a difference in Zukra's life. Zukra now knows Jesus as her Savior. But there are hundreds, even thousands and tens of thousands of Dungan people who have never heard. Last year, we and our teammates shared the good news of Jesus, shared a Christian witness with Dungan people 2,495 times. Yes, we actually keep track. But the work is difficult, and it is slow. We've been there 16 years. I've baptized only 13 people. We have a small house church of 5 to 8 people, a men's group meets once a week, but a growing number of coworkers, as I said, 14 people now full-time reaching out to the Dungan with us. Many people ask us, what can we do for you? Please pray. Please pray. That is the absolute most important thing that you can do. It is a spiritual battle. We need that encouragement. We need that support. It is illegal to talk about Jesus on the street. We do it anyway. But we haven't been arrested yet. We need that protection. Again, I hope that you can come to our presentation during lunch where we have lots and lots of pictures and stories to tell you. And my wife will share most of the stories. She's a great storyteller. So, but you don't have to go across the sea to run for God. You can go across the street. You can go across the aisle, across the classroom, across town. There are lots of lost and hurting people in this world, amen? Some of them live right next door to you. Some of them live in your own home. What in the world are we doing for Christ's sake? Love on those people. Listen to them. Even if they're just sharing arguments with you, listen so you'll know better how to pray. Look for ways that you can love them to Jesus. Share truth with them in Jesus' name. My wife is amazing at this, as you'll hear if you come to lunch. She can take any conversation and turn it into a Bible story. Oh, that reminds me. Did you hear? Some of us are gifted in different ways. Whatever your gift is, serving or teaching or just loving, giving, lots of different ways. Love on the people around you. It's your choice. You can do one of three things. Run from God, run to God, but don't get stuck there. Run for God. As for me and my family, we're going to run for God. You want to run with me? So that more and more people of the world will say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.